Hi, everyone, and welcome to Ion Markets Quick Takes. I'm Ali Curry. And every week, along with my guests, Amir Khwaja and Chris Barnes, we take a quick dive into the headlines on the Claris blog. Let's get started. Hi, Amir. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Ali.
Hey, Ali. How you doing?
Doing great. Chris, why don't we start with you? What are your quick takes for this week? Which headline from the Claris FT blog would you like to discuss?
So this week, I thought I'd talk about a blog which is all about swaptions, but I didn't think I'd talk about what's in the blog. I thought I'd tell you the story about how the blog got written, because Amir and I, whenever we meet people in real life, so many people ask us, why do you write blogs? And how do you come up with all of the ideas? And the Swaptions blog is really a classic example of how a Claris blog actually gets written. So, you know, first off, I wasn't a Swaptions trader. Okay, I traded swaps, but non-linear products are really a completely different ballgame. And so when I write about swaptions, I try and do it from a very, very basic level so that it is a very, very accessible way of looking at our data. And I've had swaptions on my list of stuff to write about all year. You know, it's always like, right, this week I should write about swaptions. And then something happens, you know, and we end up writing about something completely different. Finally started looking at swaptions. It was like 18 months after I last wrote about it in 2022. And I look at the data and the volumes in swaptions have just gone through the roof. They're like 40% higher than we've ever seen before. So I'm like, brilliant. What a fantastic time to write all about the swaptions market. When I look at previous blogs, I've always written about payer swaptions first because rates are going higher. And then I've written about receiver swaptions. And then at the end, there is always a little section on straddles, right? And straddles are a pure volatility play, a combination of a payer and a receiver swaption traded at the same time, at the same strike, with the same expiry. And so I wrote this whole blog on how payer swaption volumes have gone up and receiver swaption volumes have gone up. And I was like, you know, the swaptions volume is doing so well. This is great. And then I got to the analysis on straddles, and straddles in the data have disappeared. And I was like, what has happened previously in 2022? Like 25% of volumes were traded as straddles. And then I look at everything I've written before. And, you know, the payer volumes are up by roughly 20% and the receiver volumes are up by roughly 20%. And so that involves going through the data. And we realize as a result of DTCC changes on how you can actually report your swaptions now, people are no longer reporting swaption straddles as a single line. They are now reporting them as two lines, a payer swaption and a receiver swaption, which means that if you just look at the data without knowing this, which is exactly what I did when I started writing the blog, it proves that swaption volumes look really, really high this year. But actually, unfortunately, whilst it does look like swaptions volumes on the whole are higher than in 2022, the truth of it is that when you look at the data, it's really more a cause of facets of the data than it is of the underlying market. That's a classic example, really, of why we are writing blogs every single week. Because if I didn't write a blog on that, there's no way for us really to stay on top of the data just from looking at what we are producing each day for that change in swaptions to jump out. So the only way that we can credibly talk about SDR data, credibly talk about the transparency in the markets, is when we are actively using the data week in, week out, day in, day out. And so by actually taking the time and the energy and investing in writing the blog, that then allows me to see, haha, there has been a fundamental change in the data that then informs our priorities for the product itself. We can then go off and spec out what it will actually take to identify straddles in the data and make the 2023 data set on swaptions comparable to all of the data that has gone before. I haven't really spoken much about what's actually in the blog there. So I guess I'll pass over to Amir to see if he's got any questions on the process, the content, etc.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, very interesting. I guess in reading the blog, I guess I was surprised by the range of strikes that trade.
Yep.
All the way, I can see from your chart in the blog from 0.25 to 6 point something, right? So there's strikes, but also the fact that it's mostly 1 year is the most active swap tenor. Talk a bit about, were you surprised by the range of strikes compared to historically and the 1 year versus?
So for me, the range of strikes is not that surprising because, of course, remember swaptions, there's a lot of novation activity that happens. So these are not all new price-forming at market trades that are happening. The trades are being moved from portfolio to portfolio. People obviously have to hedge strikes across a whole raft of legacy trades as well. And so this chart would look very, very different if this was just pure new risk transfer activity. You can see that the red areas where the heat map is hottest tend to be where the current market values are. So that is not so much of a surprise. I would agree, though, that whenever I look at this swaptions data, I'm always surprised how concentrated the activity is in 1 year and 10 year. It seems to be like those are the real kind of tenors and sweet spots that people are focused on when managing this non-linear risk. 5 years is third place normally. I can have sympathy with the fact that longer tenors beyond 10 years, you know, are trickier to trade and obviously are more illiquid, difficult from a risk management perspective. But there's a massive gulf in activity from 1 year to 2 year, for example.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah. And I can see, you know, clearly, yeah, the heat maps are great. So a strike axis, a swap tenor axis, we can see the volume, you know, in that cell. Did you have a chance to look at, you know, we also have data on premiums.
Yep.
So that will be interesting in future looking at, are they becoming more or less expensive, right?
Agreed. You know, and to stress, the heat maps on the blog don't look at expiries either.
Yes.
At all. There's a lot more analysis that can be done. You know, we are somewhat hampered by presenting data in only two or three dimensions. Mapping the whole surface is achievable with the data as well. And so there are a lot of further chances for our analysis. We have a couple of dollar swaptions desks who actively use this data, right? Obviously, them being live desks, they're very cagey about how they actually analyze the data and what they use it for, but they are polling us constantly.
Yes. And that will surprise me. You know, I've always been surprised by, you know, clearly market makers calibrate a vol surface they can make prices on.
Yep.
But when you look at what actually trades, very few sparse points on that three-dimensional surface of expiry, strike, tenor trades on a given day.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a bit of an art to calibrate the vols away from at-the-money straddles.
Agreed.
And always intrigued me is that the vol cubes that people are publishing, comparing those to volume and what's actually traded is an interesting challenge. Yeah.
Agree. And I'm sure a lot of the FRTB teams, for example, have looked at SDR data to see if their swaption volatility surfaces, whether there are any points which you can argue are not modeled but are but are observable, you know, and there was a lot of work looking at the scope of FRTB from that lens as well.
Yeah. So I'm sure, you know, so at the money, swaption vol straddles should be modelable. There's enough data in dollars on those, right? And back in your point, you know, it's only by using data and writing blogs, we're forced to understand the data. And that throws up surprises that we have to dig into. And I think that always applies to any data. You can't assume, because it's data, it's without investigating changes in the regime, right? So it's unfortunate that some firms are still reporting straddles as one transaction and others are choosing two, and it's becoming a mix.
Right?
So I guess the rules allow that mix, but it makes it harder for people to use the data. As we write on a regular basis, you know, we're forced to try and understand the data. And I think that applies to many of our users that use our data or read our blogs, is that it helps in understanding that you have to be familiar with the data, changes to the data, what it means. It's not always telling you what you think. Yeah, it's telling you. And it's partly why, you know, I think we like to write the blogs. And as you say, as you meet people, they ask you, you know, have you done so-and-so blog again? So I'm sure you met someone that said you hadn't done swaptions for a while, right, Chris?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it really helps with our sales process as well, because normally as soon as you talk to someone about the data, they really want to know about what it's showing and what's new. And if you're talking about stuff that happened 6 or 7 years ago, it's just nowhere near as compelling as talking about stuff that's changing now.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
That was everything I had, Ali.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for that information. And please share with us again the title of your blog post.
That was Swaption Volumes by Strike, third quarter 2023.
Great. That works. Chris, Amir, thank you both for sharing your quick takes. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, Ali.
Thanks, Ali.
And that's our episode for today. You can read more about these topics on the Claris blog, and you can follow Ion Markets on X and on LinkedIn. Until next week, thank you for joining us.